Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
We are starting a brand new series today called Better Together, and we think it's going to be just an incredible truth and tools to build stronger relationships in our lives. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. We know that we are here on purpose and not by mistake, God, that you have continued to work inside of our lives. And I just pray that whatever weight or worry or whatever we came in, God, if anything was weighing us down, I pray that we can come and lay that at your feet, God. I pray just as we just sang the last song, Holy Spirit, I pray that your presence will be evident in this place, God. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase. I pray that you will speak to our hearts. I pray that your word will come alive to us, God. I pray that we will live with passion in everything that we do. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Anybody in here love to eat? Anybody love to eat? Yeah, me. Don't be shy. Like, I love to eat. Football Saturday was yesterday, right? Amen. College football was rolling. I have to say that, yes, I did move to South Carolina, but my dog fan came with me. Okay, so I apologize to all my South Carolina Gamecocks in the house. May get booed out, but I almost brought my Georgia cup and sat it like right here just the whole time during the message, but I decided not to. But Georgia football, and usually during those times, we just like to sit around and eat, right? And growing up in the South, I grew up in the South. I know some people may have grown up in the North or Midwest or whatever those areas. There are some particular things that when you put them together, they're just a little better, right? Like, I want you to think about, this one should be a classic. I want you to let me know if you like these things together, but peanut butter and chocolate. Peanut butter and chocolate. Is that good? Yep. I see Chrissy's in the back like, hallelujah. Reese's candy, chocolate, and peanut butter is good. What about peanut butter and marshmallow fluff? Anybody ever do that? Yeah, all the middle school kids in the back were like, that's me. That's my jam. Okay, peanut butter, this one's different. I don't even know if this is a Southern thing, but peanut butter and bananas. Peanut butter and banana sandwich. Like, yes. My mom makes this sandwich. I know this is a Southern thing, but mayonnaise and tomato sandwich. Mayonnaise and, right? Like, but mayonnaise and potato sandwich. Tomato, thank you. Tomato sandwich, put those together. Now, I'm not gonna lie, I have a good friend that moved here about the same time we did. He's from New York. So like this week I was texting him, I was like, hey, what are some like foods that you have? So this is some of the ones he told me. Tell me if you know these. Roast beef and weck. I don't even know if I said that. Weck rolls. Anybody seen those? Roast beef and weck rolls. Those are from, if you're from like the New York or New England area. Or egg noodles and butter. Egg noodles and butter. Apparently, Jared's shaking his head like yes in the back. Apparently, you put those things together. They're very delicious when you put those together. Now, here's one thing. Moving to the low country, it's become like my favorite delicacy. And these things by themselves are fantastic. But when you put them all together in this big silver pot, it becomes this amazingness, beautiful thing. When you get shrimp, sausage, potatoes, corn on the cob, you put all that in. My brother-in-law Jason has this special like sauce he puts in there. This thing just starts, it cooks all together. And low country boil, anybody like low country boil in here? It is so good, right? Like once it hits the lips. And the shrimp, we just love what those foods do coming together. And it's funny to see how when we put certain things together, it just makes it better, right? Like it just makes the experience, and food-wise, if we're talking about food, it makes the taste better. It makes the whole experience of sitting down around the table that much better. And we believe that God has created us as human beings to be better together, that when we come together, that things start to move in the better direction. And when we start to come together as the human race, things begin to move forward at a rapid pace, and God begins to do some incredible and supernatural things. And so we believe that relationships are huge. We are in relationships everywhere we go, whether at home with our spouse and kids or coworkers, or at school, in class, with our professors, all these different ideas, there are relationships all around us. And so I started to do some research, and I said, okay, if we're truly like made for interaction, made to be together. Like, what is the adverse? What is the opposite of being better together, right? It's to be separated. It's to be isolated. And I came across some incredible research here. And I want to tell you just a little bit about it. The New York Times put out an article, and this is one of the pieces of information they put out when we are separated from human contact, when we are in isolation. It says, a wave of new research suggests social separation is bad for us. Individuals with less social connection have disrupted sleep patterns, altered immune systems, more inflammation, higher levels of stress hormones. One recent study found that isolation increases the risk of heart disease by 29%. And then there's another study by the Harvard Health Study that says a relative lack of social ties is associated with depression and later in life cognitive decline, as well as increased mortality. One study examined the data of 309,000 people, found that a lack of strong relationships decreases the risk of what we saw, a lot of health issues, by 50%. And in fact, some studies even showed that extreme isolation can be as bad as smoking 15 cigarettes per day. Isn't that crazy? Like, you're like, wow, I'm glad I came to church, right? But like, it's crazy to hear about those things. And it's to see that psychologically and physically what isolation can do to our minds, can do to our hearts. And then, just to put the icing on the cake, I came across this this beautiful, incredible study where in 1939, the Harvard Health Study started studying these two group of guys. All the way started in 1939. It's been almost a 75-year study where they studied one group of kids where they grew up in a really great environment, grew up, and most of them went on to Harvard and go to school there and got really well-paying jobs. And then they studied a group of kids from Boston who grew up with hardly anything, with no money, so they could compare this environment study between these two. And so as they're looking at this study and they're studying these lives of these men, and now most of them have passed away or in their 90s, and they're even now studying their kids and the psychological patterns that they have. And so this incredible study, this guy even did a TED talk on it. He said the number one thing that they could tell that person was going to be healthy in their later years in life was how healthy their relationships were by the time they were 50 years old. They could look at the health of their relationships at that age, and that was a common denominator between every single person. The health of their relationships, the health of the people around them, determined their physical health even later in life. And how important, how big it is that when we come together, it creates a healthy pattern. And what that shows me is that you and I have a Creator that wired us a certain way, that each and every individual is wired to come together and to have some kind of community, some kind of authenticity, to come together and experience life that can truly not only be better spiritually, but physically and mentally. And it's like God almost wired and put all of that DNA inside each and every one of us, that now science is even catching up and saying, hey, this is true. This is a big deal. And so that's why we think that this series, Better Together, we want to talk about tools of building healthier relationships all throughout our life, all throughout, no matter where we are. And so today we're going to start all the way back in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 is the very first book of the Bible. We're going to put it on the screens for you as well. I'm reading out of the NIV. And so whatever particular version you're reading out of, just so that you know, but we're going to be in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. If you're ready for the word, say amen. 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 Genesis chapter 2, and this is, I'm going to read just all the way down to verse 25. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called the living creatures, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. I saw that in scripture, and it just, when I was doing this, studying for this message, and just hearing that again of how God created man. He created the heavens and earth, and on the sixth day, he breathed life into man, put soul into man. And then the man was there and even had all these animals around him, right? And he was naming the animals. And then we stepped back and I said, well, wait a second. No suitable helper was there for man. And so God continues, it says, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place of the flesh. Then the Lord God made woman from the rib. He had spoken out to of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united with his wife. They become one flesh. Adam and Eve were both naked, and they felt no shame. As we read that, I wanted to title this message today, Help is on the Way. Help is on the way. And so God, we see this creator God. He creates man and he puts Adam out on the earth. And then he steps back and goes, wait a second. It's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for us to be isolated, to be separated from human relationships. And he says, in fact, so much so, I'm going to breathe life into another person and create this community, this bond together. And I'm going to create a helper, not just anybody, right? But I'm going to create a helper for man. And so we can look at it here in two different contexts. One, obviously, in the context of marriage, but also we can use these same principles in the relationships that are around us. And they can be transferable to each side as we look back and forth. And the first big principle I want us to look at is that God didn't just create anybody. He just didn't create a companion, right? Somebody to hang out with and hang out in the garden with Adam and Eve together. But he said, no, I want to make you a helper. And that's so big for us to realize. And I want us to understand here that we were created to help each other and to add value to each other's life. And I want you to think about some of these questions as I'm going through this message. And we're only going to talk for a few minutes. We're going to worship again together. And then we'll go in hurricane prep, right? I don't know. But thinking about these truths of how am I helping in the relationships that are around me? And number two, how are my relationships, how healthy are they to where they are adding value into my life? Because God thought it was so important that where He created man and He said, you know what? There needs to be something else here. That man just by himself is not good to be alone, but yet we need to have a helper in that context. We need to have a helper inside of our relationships. And it's not, the reason why I say it's not just constituted in marriage, that helping is this natural theme that we see all throughout Scripture. Because in the New Testament, we see Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was not married. In fact, he lived in relationship and his entire life was grounded in planting churches and sharing the gospel and adding value to people's lives. And so he used this concept, he used this principle to other aspects and other opportunities in life as well. And so for us to realize that my job, my role, is to help add value, is to help add and help and strengthen the relationships that are around me. And if we think about the relationships, as you think about the relationships that you have in your life, how do we add value to that person? How do we add value to our spouse? How do we add value to our kids? And think about it on the other end. And we think about maybe the community, or maybe we're not plugged into a community, and saying, what is being added into my life? What value is being increased in this relationship realm? And it may pose a question to our heart, is I need to find an opportunity. I need to find relationships where people are coming alongside of me and they're adding value and they're helping me in my life and they're walking with me in this journey. And I want you to think about even in business world and how the businesses have even caught on to this. If they look at commercials and talk about Chick-fil-A while we're on the theme of food, right? Like we think about Chick-fil-A, they've discovered that if I can serve the people, every person that comes through our doors, if service is a big theme of ours, then people will begin to like our product, right? Like people, there's something inside of human nature, sometimes in the human race, that realizes that serving is so huge, serving is so impactful. And how can we add value to each other's lives? And so we see this increased notion begin to fill up inside of our lives and inside of our hearts. And I think about myself and I think about my life, and there are so many times when I read this question, helper, or I read what value, what help are you adding to the relationships that are around you? that my heart gets convicted sometimes. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I get busy. I get my Martha status on, right? Like you get Martha and Mary, and I just get busy. And I'm like, there's things that need to be done. Like we got to set up pipe and drink. We got to get this going. Like I got to get the kids got to get to soccer. Like I got to do this. I got to get them ready. They got to get good grades in school. Like all of a sudden, it feels like the tasks begin to add up. I'm in school. I got all these assignments I got to do. Like all these things. And it feels like the busyness can start to add weight to our lives. And God is saying, hang on a second. I want you to think about your relationships, and I want you to think about not just the pressure and the weight that life holds in front of you, but if we stop and recollect and go, okay, hang on a second. I know I feel the weight of life, and I feel the tasks that are in front of me. But if we look back and look at the experience that we can have in our relationships, and to say, where am I adding value to them? How can I bring help to them? And so for me, as a father, one of the things that I try to do, and I'm not saying this because I'm the best husband or definitely not the best dad on the planet, but where God is trying to grow and God is trying to stretch me is when I come home and I've just had a busy day at work, a crazy day at work, and pulling into the driveway, and you can even be almost exhausted, right? That my job, my opportunity to add value does not end right there, right? Like God, yes, has called me to be the provider and called me to add, to be there for my family. But when I pull in and I turn my car off, I have to just stop and take a second and go, okay, God, I need you to recalibrate my heart, recalibrate my mind right now. If I'm bringing something in the house, God, I need you, can you just take it off my shoulders? Or whatever task I still got flowing around in there, God, can you just help me relax that? So when I go in, my wife can say, help is on the way. When I send my wife a text and she gets and she says, okay, hey, I'm on the way, she can step back and go, whew, yes, help is on the way. Because I don't want her to look at that text and go, oh, when he comes home, he's going to want me to have this ready and have all this going and have this happen and have this going in my life. And same thing for my kids. Like, I want my kids to think, oh, yes, dad's coming home. Yeah, help is on the way. Like, you know, okay, like he can come. Like, we're going to be able, it's adding value. And think about your boss at work. What if he knew you were coming into work today and he sat back and said, you know what, yes, Stanton's coming in today. Help is on the way. He's coming in today. Like I cannot wait till he gets here, because when he gets here, he adds value. He adds help. He is there. He is bringing. He is encouraging. He is there for the opportunity. And I don't know about you, but I want to be that kind of friend. I want to be that kind of person that loves the people that I'm interacting with. And I don't know if you've heard this kind of ancient proverb. I'm not going to pretend like I know who wrote it. But if it's that quotes and even shares it with kids and says, hey, if you don't have friends, then be one and you'll have many, right? It's a look for opportunities to say, how can I bring help? How can I be the person that says help is on the way to be there for that particular person? And so I'm going to take about maybe 5 more minutes, and I want to read just this last portion of Genesis chapter 2, because I think there's something big here that you and I can take away. The first one is we know that it's not good for man to be alone, and we are stronger together. And the second one is we are created to help each other, to be the helper to the person that is next to us. And the last thing that I want us to get here in the scripture is, as he closes, it says, Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. That they felt no shame. And when I think of the term helper, and help is on the way, and when I think about the term shame, that they don't go hand in hand. That if I'm helping my spouse, or if I'm helping my friend, or if I'm helping my coworker, I'm not the one who is bringing shame to that person. As we think about shame and the definition of it, I want us to just to read here for just a second what that picture of shame is. Shame brings up the forgiven past of the people who are around us. Shame holds that mistake, holds that loss, holds whatever that is over that person's head and says, hey, you remember this happened? And the enemy loves to bring those lies and brings the shame and the guilt into our lives and into our mind and into our hearts. And he's saying, hey, what I want you to get, what I want you to realize is that when we are better together, and we can be better together, when we come in with the mindset of how can I help, you? How can I be there for that particular person? And then we say, how can I help you get to the freedom of Christ, to where I am not holding on to any shame, I am not holding on to any guilt? And if I see you and I feel like you're carrying the burden of life again, here I come. Help is on the way. And I'm like, look, let me tell you who you are in Christ. Let me tell you what God is doing in your life. Let me show you who you really are and where Christ has brought you from and the freedom you have in Christ. And all of a sudden you help that person leave that burden at the foot of Jesus and you become their helper. And if we're thinking about that logically, right? Or Daniel, if I'm just constantly helping, constantly helping, constantly helping, where does that leave me? And I tell you, that's where it becomes so vital that each and every one of us in the community and body of Christ realize how important our role is. Because I'm not just coming to church on Sunday. No, help is on the way. Somebody needs my encouragement. Somebody needs my hug. Somebody needs my smiling face. Because when one person pulls back and says, you know what, I'm not going to do my part, maybe somebody was waiting on that help, waiting on that encouragement, waiting on that hope. For as when we walked in, we were able to encourage them and we were able to help build them up. And most importantly, we know that in Christ, help is always on the way. That in Christ, help is always on the way. We can always go to His Word. Last week we talked about just get to Jesus. And if you can just get to Jesus, He will encourage us. He will lift this up. And when you and I were left in our shame and in our guilt, help was on the way and Christ came and died on the cross. And when we laid our sins at the foot of the cross, He gave us freedom. He gave us hope. And our shame was taken and our guilt was taken. And help came in and saved us right at the right time and added so much value to our life, added hope and purpose, and took our shame and took our guilt and gave us freedom to live in Christ. And we see that our relationship with Christ comes first. And when we receive help from Christ, it fills us up in our overflow of our lives and in our hearts, so that then we become a helper to the people who are around us. We become encouragers. We become the people who can lift each other up, to carry each other, to be stronger and better together. And so as I get ready to close, I'm going to invite the worship team to come down, and we're going to sing this last song and just get a picture of who God is, a picture of what God is doing in our life. And I just love for us to take a moment to step back and saying, God, where in my life do I need to be the encourager? What relationship are you placing on my heart that maybe I need to even step outside of my comfort zone and say, what do I need to say to this person? How do I need to help? How do I need to encourage? How can I add value to their life? Or maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, Daniel, I got nothing to give. I literally can't be that helper because my heart's not filled up. My heart maybe is hardened. I got some things that I'm still wrestling with. And my prayer is that today you will come to Christ and allow Him to move inside of your heart, because He is our true helper. And allow Him to heal your heart. Allow Him to speak to your heart. Allow Him to fill you up. And as we go home this week, you open up His Word. And I'm incredibly excited about this series because we're going to dive in. We got an incredible guest speaker coming next week. And then for the next 3 weeks, we're talking about our small groups and all these people who are stepping up to lead and to help and to add value to people's lives, to walk in community together. We're having baptisms because we want people proclaiming and professing who they are in Christ publicly, because we are better together. And so my prayer is that we would start this series off right. And if there's anything that you feel like is holding you back from being better together, the reaching out and being who God's called you to be and adding value to that life, I say, let's leave it at the foot of the cross today. Let's not walk away with any hindered relationship that we may have in our lives. Or maybe God is saying, hey, there's somebody in your life that you need to make the phone call to and say, you know what, that last conversation we had, I'm sorry it came out that way, and I just want to reconcile that. I'm here for you in this situation, whatever it may look like. I'm praying that today is a day of freedom where we are encouraged and lifted up by the love of Jesus Christ. And let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. God, thank you for speaking and breathing life into us. I pray that we are encouraged by your word, encouraged by your truth, God. I pray that we realize how important our life is and what you can do with one life surrendered to you, God. And I pray that there's anything left inside of our hearts that may be holding our relationships back. God, I pray that one, we can come to you with that. That we will pray, whatever that looks like, just begin to speak to you, God, and ask you to heal that place in our heart. And then, God, if you lead us to reach out to other people to reconcile that relationship, or maybe just to come to you, God, and ask for forgiveness so that we can move on in that moment, God, I pray that today is a day where we can walk in freedom, we can walk in hope, we can walk in grace, God. God, we love you, and ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.